Welcome to the Internet Monthly Podcast, a podcast featuring 10 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this issue, learning on the go, the new up-close and personal search assistant for your smartphone. Teaching web browsers new tricks. Is it possible they could get along without plugins? Making money from security checks, turning captures into cash machines. And obscuring OCR, the extremist fonts designed to baffle flyby bots. Summertime bucket list. Summer halls are here and children are going to have to be kept occupied for weeks and weeks to come. But there is a ready-made solution. It's waiting out there somewhere. In good weather, there's nothing quite like fresh air and exercise and the special enjoyment of family away days. All parents know you can't beat the great outdoors for fun. But if convincing your kids to leave the house at all can sometimes be a struggle, there's a National Trust website that has the answers and inspiration you need, with 50 things for youngsters to do before they reach the grand old age of 11 and three quarters. Check out 50things.org.uk. Swimming for it. In 4 weeks' time, half a dozen schoolgirls will brave the waves of the busiest shipping lanes in the world to swim in relay from Dover to France to raise funds for science and IT facilities at their school. As well as an inspirational example, this is a great demonstration of some real commitment to science, technology, engineering, and maths, STEM. Although school pupils having to swim the channel to raise money for science and IT facilities is a worrying trend, it does set an admirable example of determination and real enthusiasm for STEM education. You can find out more about the Camden School for Girls English Channel Swimming Team on the school website at www.camdengirls.camden.sch.uk. Teaching productivity. Web and computer skills taught in some British schools in future will be more practical and ultimately more useful. The design and technology element of the new national curriculum promises real hands-on IT experience, as well as encouraging creative solutions to technology challenges. Under new guidelines, children will be taught how to design and make products from a young age, learn how to use modern manufacturing tools such as laser cutters and 3D printers, and incorporate and program microprocessors. But with many schools free to ignore or opt out of the nominally country-wide national curriculum altogether, can it really reach enough children to make much difference? Read more at www.theengineer.co.uk/101683.article. Keyboard College. How much have universities been changed by digital technologies and online learning? It's a question posed by policymakers, parents, and many others. Most recently, a radio documentary by AmericanRadioWorks.org explored whether these innovations can help more people get access to higher education and bring down the cost of college without sacrificing learning. The documentary is divided into five sections, including The Worldwide U, The Data-Driven Classroom, and A School of Clicks, Not Bricks. As well as the individual chapters, site visitors can also choose to listen to the entire program, MP3 download, or read a complete transcript of the broadcast. For more information, see AmericanRadioWorks.publicradio.org. Answers by Design. Large format books on design with full-page glossy illustrations of outstanding graphic art, memorable advertising messages, striking brand images, hot magazine pages, and cool website layouts can be a joy to behold, but usually fall short when it comes to offering practical examples that designers can turn to when there's a deadline pressing. The new edition of Problem Solved, A Primer in Design, Branding and Communication from Fiden Press is much more useful. With the premise that problem solving is central to most professional designers' work, the book sets out to show students and professionals how to recognise the recurring problems common to all areas of communication and how to solve them. For help and inspiration, each chapter covers a different quandary and concludes with a case study exploring a particular solution in detail. Themes include producing innovative work, avoiding repetition, standing out in the marketplace, reinventing a tired brand, keeping a brand young, using shock tactics, and the place for word-based advertising in a world dominated by images and soundbites. The case study companies featured include Google, the Natural History Museum, BBC Two, Channel 4, and the Tate. Read more at tomculture.com/tom_book_reviews.html. Working the web without plugins. Website designers and developers might find it hard to imagine the web working successfully without plugins. Those handy helpers like Flash and ActiveX that have been making site visits so much more interesting and interactive for such a long time that it seems they've always been around. But with HTML5 gaining increasing cross-browser acceptance and a lack of plugin support on portable devices, it could be that becoming plugin-free is not only becoming more viable, but also more desirable. After all, lots of web browsing happens on smartphones and tablets these days, devices with little or no plugin support. The latest browsers, including new versions of Firefox, Chrome, and Internet Explorer 9 and 10, have embraced and implemented web standards like HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript, which means they can run most things by themselves that used to require a whole array of plugins. For more details, see sitepoint.com. Cache collecting captures. Those strings of badly printed letters and squiggly numbers that some websites use for security, making sure their visitors are human beings with functioning eyesight, can now become commercial opportunities, carrying advertising messages and generating revenue for site owners. Online advertising agency Solve Media has raised millions in funding to develop and promote the idea. Some ad campaigns will henceforth ask readers to type in a brand message instead of deciphering a traditional captcha. Others will ask readers for input that describes the brand in their own words. Solve Media isn't the first company to see extra opportunities in captures. Remember ReCapture? That was a scheme that helped with book digitization by presenting scanned words that the computer had difficulty understanding and getting site visitors to look at word images and guess their meaning. It was a clever idea that transformed what could have been 200,000 man-hours of work into 10-second tasks for completion using the wisdom of the crowd. Meanwhile, in case you're still in the dark about what CAPTCHA stands for, it's Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart. Check out solvemedia.co.uk/publisher. The typeface that hides from spies. A South Korean designer and former state intelligence worker has created a range of fonts to interfere with big data sweepers and surveillance software. Most typographers prioritize legibility and clarity when designing a new typeface. But former spook Sang-mun brought another agenda to the task. During his time in government service, Mun worked gathering intelligence material for America's NSA, National Security Agency. Back in the private sector, he began developing a set of fonts to interfere with state intelligence gathering. He named the resulting collection ZXX, after the three-letter Library of Congress code for a book without linguistic content. Although messages written in one of ZXX's four fonts, Camo, False, Noise, and Z, can frustrate even the best efforts of optical character recognition, OCR, software, all the individual letters, words, and phrases remain easily recognizable for the average human reader. For now, Mun says, His fonts are successfully confusing OCR devices used by institutions such as the NSA, but they may not be able to hold out against the state spooks indefinitely. For more information, see blogs.walkerart.org/design. Design your own font. Whether you want to try your hand at creating each letter from scratch in Illustrator, or attempt to create a font using letters you've found elsewhere, BirdFont is a free tool for Windows, Mac, and Linux that allows you to create the vectors necessary and export the finalized TTF, EOT, or SVG font files you'll need. Be sure to check the video demo embedded near the bottom of the website's homepage. Check out birdfont.org. Mobiles on the grapevine. How much does your mobile phone and eventually your phone service provider know about you, including where you are and where you've been? And who else is routinely getting access to your personal information, your location and movements, and even the contacts in your address book? A provider like Vodafone might acquire such information more or less by default, as BBC Radio 4's media show investigator Steve Hewlett found out when he asked the company to send him what they knew about him and got a shocking lump of printed out A4 pages by way of reply. But it was discovering how many others were able to gather that same information and keep a watchful eye on his whereabouts that was the biggest surprise. Turns out that some of those generous people who give us their lovely free apps to play with are also watching what we get up to the rest of the time. It's often a necessary part of the deal. Specsavers, for example, has developed an eyesight checking and health advice app for Apple and Android phones that lets you find out if you need glasses, and then, based on your street location at the time, lets you know where the nearest Specsavers shop is, so that you can go and get your vision impairment alleviated right away. All very transparent, you might think, or at least explicable. But there are other apps collecting information and noting your whereabouts that have no such excuse and don't need any of your data in order to work. Their owners want your information so they can bundle it like a bunch of subprime mortgages and sell it on as intelligence gold to somebody else. Usually the highest bidder looking for someone just like you to bombard with their messages about buying some of their irresistible stuff. Search Engine of the Month. Launched in beta last month, Newt is a mobile search app for Android and iPhone operating systems for smartphones. Its designers are calling it the search engine that learns, and say that its learning technology creates a personalized experience for each user by learning what individuals like and don't like and refining content delivery accordingly. The more Newt is used, the more it learns. As explained on the Newt website, Newt is a new search engine for people with mobile smartphones. It helps them easily find news, social media, photos and videos that match their interests. Newt learns what users like and improves what it finds over time. It also discovers new things without prompting and acts like their very own search assistant. Check out newt.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.